How many of you know they really have taken Christ out of Christmas? Sometimes I get to thinking about the way that they do, you know, and how that they just change things around to suit their own selves, and I just have to sing about it, pray about it, preach about it, write about it, do something about it. And so they've taken Christ out of Christmas. And since it was right here at Christmas time, Cindy wanted to sing that song, and I noticed it. I wrote several Christmas songs, and I noticed the other night, Brother Frank and some of the children were in here singing some of the songs that I'd written. And I think they're planning to sing some Christmas carols around. And maybe that one might be all right to sing around somewhere and let them know how we feel about it over here at Christian Tabernacle. I really believe they've taken Christ out of Christmas. Got your Bibles, I'd love for you to turn with me tonight over to Matthew 24. I think we've talked along these lines one time before. And it's hard to keep everything just right where you're switching around like we're doing tonight. But I just can't only let a service just be drug out like we started off in this service. I just don't like that kind of doing. I love to worship God, don't you? Praise the Lord. So I wanted to worship God, and I just couldn't hardly stand to see it be like that, so I just had to hook up the old guitar and see what I could do. Now then, we are wanting to have a convention over in Atlanta, Georgia. If God will help us to do it, over about maybe somewhere around the first of the year. And if we're privileged to have it, it'll be in the big auditorium in Atlanta, Georgia. They want about $180 a day for the auditorium. And if we have to pay it, if God wants it, then we'll just pay it and get it anyway. But I hope we can get it for less than $180 a day. Brother Delmer Baldwin asked me the other day about having a convention over here at the Ellis Auditorium here in Memphis. And he says it'll cost him about $275 a day if we have one over there. So I feel like we're getting off pretty cheap at $180-something dollars a day. And I've got a friend over there that says that he's got people that's on some of the boards and different things there that, and he believes he can get it for me for $50 a day. He said he got it for Shambach when he was there for $50 a day. And if he can, then that'll be good. Brother Jack Farmer says that he believes he can do it for me. Said he knows he can do it. And we'll see. And Brother Tom Burnett said that he would carry the meeting from the Big Gun of Dixie every day. And I hope and pray to the Lord that we can really have it. Brother Delmer said he was going to be there if we had it. And some of the others maybe will get to be there from here. A lot of the churches around Atlanta, Georgia, wanting to work with us. And some over in Alabama and maybe up in the Carolinas. Some has promised up there that if we call for them that they'd come. So I'm looking forward to a wonderful meeting. Brother Tom said that he believed that he could assure us at least of 200 people to start with. We ministered for him on this last trip while I was over there. And I guess we had 200 people or better that one night that we ministered. But anyway, I believe that God will bless us in it if we can have it. And I'd like for you to pray about it, because if we have it, I want to start pretty early putting out some literature and letting the people know that we're going to have it. And if Brother Delmer Baldwin wants to have this one here at the Ellis Auditorium and set it at a different time that won't conflict with this one, or if the Lord sees fit not to have that one and let him have this one, then we'll work together here as the Lord shows us. I told him just as God showed us, we would work together. So then whatever you do, pray about it, because we want to do it. And I'm going back to Mexico, if the Lord will help me. As soon as summer opens up, I want to get back in that bull arena again. This time I want to go not for just a meeting or two, but I want to go for a revival this time. God really blessed us the last time we was down there. And I want to go back just as soon as summer comes. Now, we had a good time up in Mount Airy. The Lord blessed us up there and gave us a wonderful meeting. And even though they've got plenty of trouble up there, just like they have here and everywhere, everywhere you go, some of you tonight, you heard one of the tapes that we made up there when you come in tonight. We've been playing it for 92 because I'm looking for Brother Joseph Scarce to come down, Sears we call him, and run us a revival pretty soon now. And I just play one of the tapes that we made up there so you can hear him a little bit from night to night and kind of get acquainted with him. Isn't it wonderful to know that in spite of the way that people feel, that the kingdom of God's not a failure? Isn't that wonderful? You know, you look at the expressions on some people's face and and you try to have fellowship with them, and the way they act in the house of God and the expressions that they have on their face and all, you think that God's kingdom was just a failure, and you think it was just playing and there wasn't anything to it. But isn't it wonderful to know that we're not playing, and that God's kingdom isn't a failure, and that the Lord Jesus is with us, and that we're going to chime in spite of all. Isn't that wonderful? So then we praise God tonight for the wonderful touch of the Spirit. A little bit of scary here that Satan seemed to, I was going to keep away from us there for a bit. Now if you've got your Bibles, turn with me tonight over into the book of Matthew's, over the 24th chapter, and let's read just a little bit here, and let's see just what the Lord is trying to show us. Now, I'd like for somebody to look over in the book of Revelation while I'm reading here, and I'd like for you to find there about the sixth seal, I believe it is, where the stars fell from heaven, and we want to talk a little bit, and I want you to listen now. I want to say this, like I said this morning, and like I've said in a lot of my meetings around the country, if you don't feel like you can listen and you feel like you got to go, then go ahead and I won't feel bad at you. But if you can listen, I want you to listen. But whatever you do, try to pay attention if you do study, because it's needful for you to do that. I'll try not to hold you long if you'll just listen and pay attention tonight. Now then, notice here in the 24th chapter where Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he tells them here, he says that many false prophets will rise. He expounds this to them here and told them that when you see the abomination spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, that then the end would come. Now, I mentioned here recently how that the Arab people had compassed the cities of Jerusalem, come out against it, and the different armies around had come up against it, and some of the leaders had been killed in Jerusalem, and the curfew had been set up, and how they had put a patrol there around the city walls day and night, which shows that we're coming right to the end of the way now. We're getting right down to the very end of the way, and so it is, knowing this, then we need to be ready. Now the children are going in there where Cindy can teach them tonight to take care of them while we're preaching in here. That'll help you parents not to have an excuse. I know it's going to make some of you feel bad because you don't know what to do, you see, if you ain't got an excuse. All right, but anyway, see Brother Sam grinning at me back there like he knows what I'm talking about. So then, the cities of Jerusalem are compassed about, in a sense, with armies now. The whole world is going to move in against Jerusalem. The whole world is going to move in against it. God will call the whole world against that one little nation, and in doing that, then that's what's going to bring on the end of time, because in that hour the blood is going to run up to the horse's bridle. He's going to draw every army in the world in against Jerusalem. God has always blessed the United Nations because they blessed the Jew. He said, "They that bless thee shall be blessed, and they that curse thee shall be cursed." And he's always blessed them because they blessed the Jew. But now then there will come a time when the American people will not bless the Jew. And when they get to that place, then God will call them in against the Jews just like he does the rest of the world. And in that hour, you'll find out that God will curse America. So then, notice here in this reading, we want to read a good little bit of scripture tonight. And I want you to notice real close now. He says here in the 24th chapter of Matthew's, after he told them all these great things, that I shall be great tribulation, such as the world's not known. He went on down saying, there'll be false crises and false miracles and all kinds of signs and wonders. And they'll be saying that Christ is in the secret places. And then he goes on down here a little farther. He said, but in the 28th verse here, he said, for whithersoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth the leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour for that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now then, I want Brother Frank to be sure to notice here as we talk. Now then, I want you to especially notice here in the 29th verse of the 24th chapter, he says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. Now then, notice this one thing here. He said that in that hour, he said the signs of the heavens shall appear. How many of you know that God has set the stars and the moon and the sun and all those things in heaven as a sign that everything in this world represents something spiritual, that everything in heaven represents something spiritual, that is in the natural heavens, in what we call the solar system, what science is always studying. Everything up there is a type and a shadow, or an allegory, Paul called it in his teachings, of the spiritual things of God. And here, Jesus talking to his disciples, they said, Lord, said, tell us, what shall be the sign of the coming of the Son of Man? And he said here, he said, let no man deceive him. He said, for nobody shall know the hour of that coming. But he told him in another place, he said, ye are not children of darkness, but children of light, that day should come upon you unaware. He said, as a thief shall it come upon all of them that dwell on the earth. He said, but ye shall know when it's nigh, even at the door. He said, ye shall know. We cannot know the hour. We cannot know just the minute of his coming. But he said, ye shall know when my coming is near. Now, I want to say something to you tonight, and you may not understand it, But I tell you tonight, the coming of the Lord is at hand. The coming of the Lord is at hand. You say, Brother Pike, nobody doesn't know that. The Bible did not say that anybody would not know. He said they would not know the hour. But he said, when you see all these things come to pass, know that it's nigh, even at the door. He said, when the gospel has been preached in all the world for witness, he said, and then shall the end come. The gospel has gone into all the world for a witness. It's covered the four corners of the earth. It's been spread by great men of God with signs and wonders, demonstration of power. God has spread the gospel of the kingdom into all the world for witness. And now then he tells us that it's nigh even at the door. That's getting pretty close, isn't it? When you see it nigh even at the door, that's about as close as it can get unless it comes in where you're at. So then we see here that it's nigh even at the door. And then he says in this hour, they said, Lord, what will be the sign of thy coming? He said, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened. Now, I know it's hard for us to come to a reality or realization of the coming of Jesus Christ, but I want you to know that the coming of the Lord is near. I want you to know that the ministry is real. I want you to know that the things that preachers are doing around the world, they're not entertaining people. They wasn't sent to entertain people. I know that we've got into what I call a spiritual rut. It seems that people come to church to be entertained. If you don't entertain them, they just sit and they go to sleep on the benches. Or they just don't pay any attention to you. Or they come and they get rebellious against you. They'll take on all kind of spirits and act all kind of ways. But I want you to know that the gospel of Jesus Christ is real. I want you to know that we're not playing. That the ministry is sent here for the purpose of perfecting you and getting you ready for the coming of Jesus. Somebody says, I don't need the ministry, Brother Pine. The Holy Spirit will perfect me. The Holy Spirit will show me what to do. But I want you to know, friend, that the Holy Spirit will only do that the Word of God says it will do. And the Word of God says that through the ministry, the Holy Spirit will perfect you. He said, I said in the body, the fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints. There's no way that you can ever get perfect except you listen to the voice of the ministry. And he said, when I come back, I'm coming back after a church without spot, without wrinkle, or without blemish. Today, this morning in the service, Betty stood over here in this corner as she was crying and she was telling the revelation of God, how that God spoke to her heart. And she said that in this hour, she said, I can see that the bride of Christ has come, that she's come to dress herself for the coming of the Lord. But she said that it's just like a garment that's getting ready to be pressed to a hot iron. Said, for God has got to press the iron to us and iron out all of the wrinkles, all of the spots, and all of the blemishes, that we might be ready in the time of his appearing. So then we see that this is the hour when he's coming back after a bride without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. Now then, what did he say in that hour? He said here, they said, Lord, said, what shall be the sign of the coming of the Son of Man? He said, in that hour, he said, the very powers of heaven shall be shaken. He said, in that hour, he said, the powers of God shall move through the earth and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Now, according to the Bible, back in the days of Moses, God shook the earth. God came down upon Mount Sinai and a blaze of glory covered the mountain. And he told Moses, he said, don't even come near this mountain. He told the people, said, stay away from this mountain. And he said, when I call one of you, said, you come, but unless I call your name, unless I speak to you, he said, don't you get near this mountain. He said, if one man touches it, he said, he shall die. And the Bible said that if so much as a little rabbit, just a little bitty animal, animal that God had created. The Bible said if just a little animal came near to that mountain, that it immediately died, because the Shekinah glory of God had enveloped the mountain, and God was standing aloft upon the top of the mountain, speaking to the people and telling them not to come near that mountain except he called them. And then God spoke to Moses, and he told Moses, he said, Moses, come up into this mountain where I'm at. Come up into the Shekinah glory of God. He said, for you found favor with the Lord. And then he told him back there, he said, I have shaken the earth. He said, in this hour that I've come to you, he said, I have shaken the earth. He said, but there will come a day when I shall not stand upon the mount of Sinai and shake the earth. He said, but I'll shake the heavens as well as shaking the earth, and I'll shake all things therein. And so it was, he said, in that day, instead of standing upon the Mount Sinai, he said, I shall stand upon the Mount of Olives, and the very powers of heaven shall be shaken. This is an hour when God is not shaking the earth, friend. This is an hour when God is not doing like he did back in the days of Moses. But this is the great shaking in the land that God said would come in the last days. He said there shall be earthquakes in the land. People shall quake. They shall become fearful and become afraid. And the Spirit of God shall come down in their midst. And he said great earthquakes shall sweep through the land. I've got a book in here. I was just reading it the other night. How that the earthquakes swept through Japan. How that they swept through California. How that they swept through Alaska. And there's over 1,000 quakes has come through a city in Alaska since the last earthquake that they've had. There's thousands of tremors, they call them, that's moved through that great city there since God gave the earthquake in Alaska. It's a fearful time that we're living in. It's a time of perplexity. It's a time of men's hearts failing them. It's a time of the roaring of the seas when everything is all out of sorts and nothing can seem to find its bearings anymore. And the Bible said the earth, it's groaning and it's mourning. It's waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. And we are the sons of God. John said, now, beloved, are ye the sons of God? It does not yet appear what we shall be like. He said, but when he appears, we know that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We are the sons of God. We're already the sons of God. To as many as believe, gave him the power to become the sons of God. We are the sons of God. I'll tell you a few people tonight, if you just knew and if you just understood just what we are tonight, you'd have more reverence to the wearing, to the speech, to the ministry, and to them that are trying to direct your attention and your soul toward Jesus Christ. Because we are not just mere creatures in this earth, but we're sons of God that sent down from heaven to do a work in this earth, whereby you might be saved and whereby you might acknowledge the writings of the Lord God of heaven and accept the truths of his word, that you might be rooted and grounded in his truth and be saved in that hour. John said, now, beloved. He said, now are you the sons of God. It's not a future thing. It's not something that's out yonder in the future. We are not looking for a future event to take place to where we shall suddenly become the sons of God. But right now we're sons of God. We pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. Because we have a love for the true children of God. We know that we pass from death unto life. I picked a man up over in Alabama, riding down the street, and I said, sir, I said, do you know that you're Christian? And he could not answer me except in the fashion he said, I am not sure. I do not know, he said. He said, but I believe or I think that I'm a Christian. I said, no, sir. I said, I'm here to tell you that you're not a Christian. I said, I'm here to tell you you've never been born again. I said, because if you'd been born again, I said, you'd know that you'd pass from death unto life. So then I said, if you don't know, If you don't know that you're Christian, I said you're not a Christian. And I tell you tonight the same thing. If you don't know that you're Christian, you are not a Christian. If you don't know that you pass from death unto life, then you haven't passed from death unto life. So then this is the hour of the great shaking. I told this morning how that a man came and how he sat in there the other night and talked to me. And he'd been shook up so that he had lost his bearing that he couldn't find his way anymore. The same identical person months ago I warned. And I told him, I said, if you don't stop building on sensation and stop building on shouting and stop building on ideas and stop building on your feelings, I said, one day God is going to shake you. And I said, you're going to find that you built on the sands instead of on the word of God. And I said, in that hour, you're going to be sorry. For the Bible said the wise man built his house upon the word of God. And when the winds came and when they blowed, it could not shake it. Brother, this is the shaking hour. That man had built upon the sands. And he told me, he said, I'm just about to go all to pieces. He said, I need help. I don't know what to do. He said, I'm just on the inside. I have a relinquishing spirit that's just pulling me down. And I don't know what to do about it. Brother, I want you to know that if you're not founded in the word of God, you'll never make it through this hour of temptation. We talked this morning about where Jesus told him. He said, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation. He said, because you have kept the words of my patience. Oh, did you know that it takes a little bit of patience to set before God? It takes a little bit of endurance to listen to the word of God. It takes a little bit of holding on to your spirit to be able to listen to God's word and stay there until the minister tells you what God wants you to hear. He said, because you've endured with the words of my patience, he said, I shall keep thee from the temptation that is to come upon this world. And brother, we're in the hour of temptation. This is the hour when everybody's being tempted. This is the hour when Satan is loose in the world and he's going to and fro like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. This is the hour of it. Men's hearts are failing them for fear and looking after these things to come. Jesus said in that day, he said, there shall be perplexities, there shall be fears. He said, in sorrow such as the world has never known. He said, sorrow shall be over the earth like they've never known before. This is the hour when you've got to have a foundation more than ideas. A foundation more than your feelings. It's a time when you've got to have the foundation of the word. Brother, when Satan came to Jesus Christ in the wilderness, if the Lord had just looked at him and said, Satan, I feel it ought to be this way, or I think it ought to be that way, he had been in a bad fix. But he held on to the mind of his heavenly Father. He did not lean to the understanding of the flesh. He did not give credit to the understanding of the flesh, nor he did not pursue the course of the mind of flesh. But he just turned to God's created word. And he said, Satan, he said, it is written. It is written. I tell you that in the hour of temptation, when it comes that time of sorrow, when Satan is closed in on you, you're going to have to say it's written. It's written. If you can't say it's written, you'll never be able to endure a temptation. You've got to be able to say it's written. My, how many times, just since my David has been sick in this hour of temptation, how many times have I looked toward heaven and cried to God and looked toward the opposing powers of Satan and I said, Satan, I said, it's written in God's word. It's written in God's word. It's written in God's word that you can't stand before me. You can't cause me trouble. You can't stand before the children of God because he said to resist the devil and he would flee from you. I've said so many times it's written, having been stranded in different conditions across the world, stranded in the mountains, stranded in the desert. I've been stranded in strange cities and places that I didn't know nothing about and had no one to turn to. But in that hour I said, God, it's written. You said to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I said, I've done it, Jesus. And I said, it's written that you'll supply all of my needs according to your riches and glory. I said, it's also written, Lord. You said, whithersoever thou goest, I shall be with thee. And I shall keep thee in the way. He said, wherever you go, I'll give it to you. If you set your foot there, he said, I will give it to you. And so then I stood before the Lord, and I said, it's written. And here Jesus said, the sign of my coming shall be this. He said that in that hour the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Did you know that scientists are proging into those heavens. They're proging into those heavens. Those gigantic blasts that's leaving this earth with such great force and impact, they're shaking that planetary world. Those powers are getting up there. And in that great place where God's got fixed that he calls outer space, it's a great planetary world without weight or without gravitation. And God set one thing in orbit over here, and it's no gravitation. There's no power to move it. It just sits there, or else it just floats around out in space. And now they're beginning to shake the heavens. They're beginning to drive those missiles and those satellites and those spaceships out into that world up there. And the very heavens are beginning to be shaken. There's something that's got to happen. There's something that's got to give. You can't keep probing the heavens without something taking place. Something has got to happen. They keep throwing one missile up there and another missile up there and another missile up there. And they hit the moon with a missile over here. And Russia hit it with a missile over here. And after a while, things is going to get out of its orbit, and this is going to be one of the greatest turmoils and the greatest calamity that's ever befallen the world in the history of mankind. Why? Because Jesus said, this is the sign of my coming. They said, Lord, what is the sign of thy coming? He said, in that hour when all men look up, in that hour when all men look up, for you know that your redemption draweth nigh. Everybody's looking toward the heavens. Everybody. I love to go flying myself on this last trip. When I was up there with Brother David Allen, I just couldn't wait till we got in the airplane to fly. Every time I go up there, I get a chance to go fly. Men are beginning to look up. Their eyes are on heaven. They've got so much turmoil in this earth, so much chaos in this world, so much trouble in this world. And in this very hour, they're beginning to look up to God. They're beginning to turn their eyes heavenwardly. And God said in that hour, he said, know that the redemption of your body draweth nigh. When men began to look up toward the heavens, he said, in that hour, I'll split the clouds of glory. Why is he turning their hearts toward heaven? Because every eye shall behold him. Men are beginning to become stargazers. Men who never knew anything about the heavens at all are beginning to gaze into outer space, study outer space, because it's the hour when the Lord is going to break the clouds of glory and come back into this world of chaos and trouble. And it's a time of shaking. It's a time of trembling. The Bible said in that day that the very young men's hearts shall fail them. Not old men, but he said young men would begin to have heart trouble. And young men will begin to lose their strength. He said the strength of young men shall fail in that day. And we're living in the hour of the great shaking. And Lord, he said, what shall be the sign of thy coming? He said, in that hour when they all look up, he said, I will shake the powers of heaven. I will shake the powers of the universe. The very powers of the elements shall be on fire. Peter said, seeing that the elements shall be on fire, and the heavens shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth and all therein shall utterly be burned up and consumed. He said, what manner of person ought we to be with all holy conversation, looking toward God in heaven, and hastening unto the coming of the Son of God? He said, seeing that all these things are going to take place, already the atom bomb, they've tapped onto the elements. They've learned to convert the elements into power to where man can control it. Man is at last broken to the elements. The atom bomb is a composition of the elements that are around us, or the atoms that are in the air. It's the elements. They've set the atoms on fire. They've set the elements on fire. And Peter said, seeing that the very elements shall be on fire, he said, what manner of person ought we to be? What will be the sign of thy coming, Lord Jesus? He said, in the hour when the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then in the book of Revelation, there, when they looked toward heaven, he said, the heavens was parted as a scroll. And he said, the heavens just broke open as a scroll. And he said, and suddenly, John said, I looked, and within those heavens, he said, there appeared the ark of the testament of the living God. Did you know that in this hour, that God is breaking over the heavens, and the ark of his testament is beginning to be revealed? I know that when we think about it, we think about the natural heavens that's up yonder, but God has given us something whereby we might see the spiritual things of God. For John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, and God works in spiritual signs, and in spiritual wonders, and in spiritual knowledge, and in spiritual wisdom, and he's always showing himself in the form of the need of mankind. The heavens are being probed with. John said, I looked, and they just came apart. They came apart. He said, in that hour, I looked. And he said, then I looked, and where they'd come apart, he said, the ark of the testament appeared in the heavens. Now then, when the Lord Jesus hung yonder on the cross, the Bible said just before he went to the cross, he told the Jews, he said, you destroy this temple. He said, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And the Bible said they understood not that he spake of his own body. His own body, which was the temple of Almighty God. And when he hung there on the cross, the Bible said the veil of the temple was rent in twain. The spirit was separated from the body. It was rent in twain. Or it was rent in two, which means the spirit was separated from the body. You understand what I'm saying? The spirit was separated from the body. His soul, his spirit, his body was separated. The Bible speaks of God's word being sharper than a two-edged sword. He said to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of tomorrow separated from the bones, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This is a sharp cutting sword tonight. This is a sharp cutting word. What did Paul mean when he said, to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, to the discerning of the thoughts and intents of the heart? What was he speaking of? He was speaking that this is the mysteries of God being revealed in this hour for the translation. It's so close and it's so deep that it'll just go down and discern the very thoughts and intents of a man's heart, and it'll separate his spirit from his soul. It'll give the explanation of the soul. It'll give the explanation of the spirit. It can just go down, down, down deep, down deep. The Bible said the Spirit of God searcheth out the things of God, and it says the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. How are we going to ever have the things of God if we don't have the Spirit of God? How can we expect revelation to come to us if we don't have God's Spirit? The things of God will not come to your spirit. They will not enter into your spirit because they don't know your spirit. Even Satan over there, when those people were casting out devils, and some of the sons of a certain Jewish man over there came before them, and they said, we are Jew, you by the God or the Jesus that Paul preaches to come out of this man. They said, Jesus we know. And they said, we've got a record of Paul, we know him. But he said, who are you? Who are you? Now then, they didn't have the Spirit of God. They didn't have the Spirit of God. And the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. They said, we know Paul. We know Jesus. We know him. There's a record of him in heaven. These devils said, we know him. They could have went a little farther. They could have said, in every name, every knee shall bow when the name Jesus is spoken, we have to bow to. And we know Paul because we have to do reverence to him because he's got power over us. They said, but tell us, who are you? Who are you? The things of God knoweth no man, but it knows the Spirit of God. If you haven't got God's Spirit, the Bible said you're none of his. It doesn't make any difference how much you believe. Paul said in the 19th chapter of Acts, he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Somebody said, I just can't receive the Holy Ghost. The Bible said God give the Holy Ghost to them that obey him. Brother, if you can't receive the Holy Ghost, it's because you're not obeying God. God gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey him. The Bible said, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby thou art sealed until the day of the redeeming of your body. Until the day of redemption, or the redeeming of your body. They said, Lord, when shall this be? He said, then shall thy redemption draw nigh. Then, he said, when you see the powers of heaven shaken, Jesus hung there on the cross, the temple was rent in twain, the veil of the temple was rent, the natural-minded Jews could not get a spiritual revelation. They didn't know what was going on. And we got a church world the same way today. They're in the same condition today. They've heard the gospel preached, and they still can't get a hold of a spiritual revelation. They still can't do it. When the veil of the temple was rent there on the cross, those Jews saw that veil that Moses had set up in the earth. They saw it break loose. And they said, this is it. This is it. That natural veil broke loose right there. And they said, this is it. No more holies of holies. No more holies of holies. Now it's open to everybody. But the Bible said they understood not that he spake of his body. That was the temple of God. That was the temple in which God was well pleased. It was down the cross when the heavens were split in twain. And the Bible said the word of God was revealed. The ark of the testament was revealed. God's word came forth into the hearts of mankind. And did you know that everything that happened to Jesus is happening to you and I? It was there on the cross that Revelation records that in that hour when the Son of God hanged there on the cross, that the sun became as dark as sackcloth of hair. The sun veiled itself in sackcloth and became dark because the ark of God had been revealed. The Shekinah glory of God had come forth from within the veil of the body of Jesus Christ. And the sun couldn't shine anymore. The sun couldn't shine anymore because the Shekinah glory of God, the mind of Christ, had been given to humanity. It had broke open from the bodily veil of Jesus Christ and was given in the hearts of mankind. And the sun had to veil itself and it couldn't shine anymore. God had come into the earth. The kingdom of God had come. The Bible said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on this earth just as it has been done in heaven. And the Bible said the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. And the kingdom of God has come. And the kingdom of God, he said, is at hand. To repent ye and receive or inherit or accept within your heart the kingdom of God. He said, for it doesn't come by looking. It doesn't come by observation. It doesn't come by seeing this or that. He said, but it's down deep within your heart. The kingdom of God is within you. Receive you the kingdom. He said, for men press their way into the kingdom of God. Jesus hung there on the cross, and then when the veil of the temple was rent in twain, the ark of God's covenant, John said, appeared in the heavens. Where is the heavens? Where is the heavens? He said, in that hour the Son of Man shall appear in the heavens. He said, when the powers of heaven start to be shaken, he said, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. In that hour shall all the tribes of the earth begin to mourn. I want you to know that even though there is a sign that's coming to the Jews, there is an appearing in the natural heavens coming to the Jews, but I want you to know there's been a spiritual appearing of the sign of the Son of Man in the church, because we are the heavenly bodies. We are those that are in heavenly places. We are the powers of heaven that's being shaken. We are the powers of heaven that's being shaken. We are the spiritual power doors of heaven, and we're being shaken. Everything in heaven is being shaken. Many preachers are being shaken, and the stars of heaven are beginning to fall. Many ministers are beginning to tumble down because they profess to be the ministry of Jesus Christ. They profess to be the leaders of God. But I want you to know that in this hour they're being shaken. It's in this moment, in this hour, that God is causing them to topple out of the heavens, and it's beginning to be revealed that they never was of Him to begin with. There's people that are supposed to be Christians. There's people that's professed Christianity, that's come to the altar and prayed, that's shouted and done all of these things. I want you to know they never was in the Spirit of God. They never was in the heavens of God. They were wandering stars without any light, and there was no hope from them even from the beginning. The Bible said in the book of Jude, they were ungodly men that were ordained before of old unto condemnation. Before they were ever formed in their mother's womb, they were ordained to be damned, to be taken and to be burned. Jude said they're brute beasts to be made, to be taken and to be burned. He said there are spots and blemishes in our feast of love while we feast off of the feast of God's love and God's charity. While the supper of the Lamb is being spread before us and the things of God are being given, he said these are among us. But he said they're having eyes full of adultery. They can't cease from sin. He said they have men's person in admiration because of their advantages. They have eyes full of adultery. They are lusting after the things of this world, and they cannot cease from sin. And they're beguiling unstable souls to follow their own ways. He said they're wandering stars for whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. The powers of heaven shall be shaken. They said, Lord, what shall be the sign of the coming of the Son of Man? He said, in that hour the heavens shall be shaken. I want you to know that the natural world has been shaken. There's been spiritual earthquakes going through the heart of the natural world one after another. Tremors, continual streams of tremors. And men have been shaking and quivering by fear, perplexities, heart attacks. All of these things, they've been in a great shaking. But he said, I won't just shake the earth. He said, I'll shake the heavens. The church is beginning to be shaken. The church that he referred to as being the heaven of God, it's beginning to be shaken. The church is beginning to be shaken, and ministers are falling away. Falling away. He said in that hour there would be a great falling away. They're beginning to fall away. People that profess Christianity is being shaken out of the heavens of God. They profess Christianity, but now God is beginning to shake them out and prove they were wandering stars. They never did have a light. All they ever did was reflect somebody else's shout, reflect somebody else's life, reflect somebody else's victory. They never did have victory of their own. They never did have faith of their own. They never was called the light of the world because they were reflectors. They were stars that reflect. Did you know that in heaven there are stars that reflect? Now, if it's a true star, it's called a little sun. It's got a light of its own. That's what the sun is a star. But it's a big star. That's what the sun is. It's a big star. So then the stars, which are true stars, are little suns. And they have lights of their own. But there are certain stars that they don't even hold a position. They never do. You know, you got people that just wander from church to church. They never find a home church. They never get anchored and grounded in the Word of God. And the reason is because they don't want to support the work of God. They won't want to become a pillar in the work of God. They don't have to have something to where they are continually giving, but they want to give spastic. Maybe give this month and next month may not give nothing. Give this week and it may be a year before they give anything else. Or they just wander to and fro. The Bible said these are wandering stars. Wandering stars. But there are certain stars in heaven that don't wander around reflecting other people's life. But they hold a post of duty. They're set in an orbit. And they stay there. And they stay there. And they stay there. They're dependable. They give a light to the wayfaring pilgrims that travel through this dark world. So then he said, I'll shake the very powers of heaven. Brother Al Gonzalez recently wrote a letter from over in Mexico, and he said a strange thing is taking place down here. He said the stars are beginning to fall from heaven. He said it's a tremendous moving in the heavens, and the stars are beginning to fall. He said many stars are beginning to fall. And so it is, it shows that in the spiritual hour, some of you read the tract that I wrote on vision a long time ago, how that it would be shown in the movie stars, how that they began to fall into sodomy and into the corruption of this world and become sexual perverts and all of those kind of things. How that they would begin to fall from their orbit. They've been clean people in the past. Movie stars have been clean people, held up a great reputation, but now they're the filthiest people on earth. They're beginning to fall from their orbit now. Those stars are beginning to fall into sodomy and into all these filthy things to show that God is going to do something. The powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear in the heavens the sign of the Son of Man. I wonder if you can see this tonight. I wonder if you're spiritual tonight. The Bible said the things of God are foolishness to the natural man, to the natural mind, that he can't see them because they're spiritually discerned. He said, but in that hour, he said, the things of God would be revealed when the shaking began to take place in the heavens, for the sign of the Son of Man would then appear. How many of you know that in the spiritual aspect of our teachings, that among the true Christians, the sign of the Son of Man has appeared in heaven? How many of you know that it's already appeared in heaven? The sign of the Son of Man among the Christian people in these heavenly places where we're at? How many of you know that we're hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restitution or the restoring of all things? He said, I'll restore that the cankerworm has eaten the years the locusts have consumed, liking the locust and the caterpillar under the Catholic Church. It came down through the dark age and destroyed the church after they had set it up at Pentecost. He said, they destroyed it like locusts. He said, but I'll restore that church. I'll restore the years that the cankerworm and the locusts have consumed. I will restore, he said, in that day, and give you the former and the latter rain in that hour. He said, I'll give it to you. How many of you know the rain that came back there in the days of Elijah, that it never came until after he had killed out the prophets of Baal? Did you know that there's been a vindicator in this hour, and that his vindication has been so great, his ministry has been so powerful, that every other ministry is dying because people saw such a great truth of Christ in his life until those false prophets out there, they don't care to hear him anymore. They don't care anything about him anymore because they've been proved to be false. Elijah came on the scene and he killed that ministry. He killed that ministry back there. He took the sword and he slew the prophets of Baal back there in that day. And the prophets of Jezebel in that day. He done away with them in that day. And that same harlot church that the Bible speaks of in the book of Revelation, the Catholic Church, that he called Jezebel. In this hour he also sent an Elijah. And that Elijah's vindication was so great that it caused those prophets' ministry to die. He literally killed them with the sword of the Spirit, and the sign of the Son of Man has appeared in heaven. How many of you know how that those wise men back there knew that that was Jesus Christ that had been born? It was because they watched the stars. They kept watching the stars, and they saw a star that was bigger and brighter than any other star in heaven. And they said, because this star has appeared, we know that it's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And so it was because of that big bright star, they knew the Son of Man had come. And did you know that in this hour, that great minister that you've heard us speak of, the prophet of our day, he came and stood head and shoulder above every minister on the face of the earth. Oral Roberts, Billy Graham, and none of the other ministers could even touch him in his ministry. Why? Because it was Jesus Christ moving within the body, the sign of the Son of Man appearing in the heavens. Just as Jesus stood by the well over there and he told that woman all that she'd ever done, it was the sign of the Son of Man in his life. And then this brother came on the scene and he began to speak to people and told them all that they'd ever done. It was the sign of the Son of Man working just like it did over there at the well when it spoke to that woman. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's appearing in the earth today. It's appearing in the earth. And then the counterpart, which is the false Antichrist, he also must appear in the false heavens. And about the same time he came to America and stood over there around Broadway where the stars get their start, he stood around Broadway. He also appeared in the heavens. He appeared among the political world as the great leader, head and shoulders above all of them. All the political leaders of Washington went out to see him. Never has anybody honored a man like they honored that man. The dignitaries of Washington went out to greet him. They turned the school down and made the children go out and do obeisance unto him. And the same way with Billy Graham in the physical realms over here, where he appeared among the stars of Hollywood. He came in there among the stars of Hollywood. He's fellowshipped among them, but he's gained more fame, more popularity, and he's got the whole world at his feet, so to speak. Why? Because God is showing that the sign of the Son of Man is appearing in the heavens, and he said, in that hour the heavens shall be shaken. The political heavens is being shaken. The physical heavens over in Hollywood is being shaken. And the spiritual heavens, which is the church, is being shaken. The natural heavens yonder above our head is being shaken. God is beginning to shake them, and God is letting them split in twain. Did you know part of the church is going this way? Part of the church is going this way, and the goats being separated from the sheep, and right in the midst of all of it, the word of God, which he calls the Ark of the Testament, or the kingdom of God, is being revealed just as John saw it revealed in heaven. He said in that hour the stars fell from heaven. He said that the sun veiled itself with a sackcloth. The sun veiled itself with a sackcloth. And he said the stars fell right down out of their orbits. What is it? God is shaking the heavens. Ministers are being shaken that have never been shaken before. People who have built on the sensations of shifting sands and theologies, built on feelings and ideals and all of those things, they're beginning to be shaken. They're beginning to be shaken. But them that have rooted themselves and ground themselves in God's word to say, Satan is written, they're never being shaken. They'll never be shaken. They're not being shaken, and they'll never be shaken. Why? Because this is the rock. This is the rock that the wise men founded this temple upon. He built it on this rock. The Bible said that God is the Word, and who is a rock but our God, the Word? Upon this rock I build my church. He said, and the gates of hell shall never prevail against it. What is it? The powers of heaven are being shaken. I wish we had more time to go on tonight. I'd love to be able to go on into deeper depths and spiritual revelation in this thing. Just give me a few more minutes and we're going to try to close out. The stars are now falling, friend. They're falling from heaven. You're surprised at some of the people that's falling away, ain't you? You're surprised at them. You thought they were really rooted and grounded and they'd stay in the church. I went over and talked to a brother the other day, and he's a preacher right around here. And I said, brother, I said, where are you going to church? He said, well, I haven't been to church anywhere in a long time. What is it? It's a shaking. It's a shaking hour. You're going to fall. You're going to fall from those spiritual heavens. If you got in without the wedding garment, if you slipped in there, the mist of darkness is reserved for you forever. Because you went in without the wedding garment, which is called the righteousness of the saints. The faith of Jesus Christ. You went in with your own faith instead of his nature and his spirit. Instead of his anointing. Instead of his mind, you went in through your own mind. He said, if you climb up another way outside of going through the door of Jesus Christ, you're a thief and you're a robber. If you come into that church and you try to get into that body, I said this morning, you can't get into it except you be baptized into it by one spirit. No matter how much you come together in church, you're still not in the body, in the members. So then the stars are falling. This is the hour. What is it? You are the body of Jesus Christ. And the sign of the Son of Man is in your life. In the many-membered body, it's in your life. And collectively speaking, it's appearing in the body of Christ. It's appearing in the spiritual body of the heavens. He said he would come back in clouds of great glory. And the Bible said you are that great cloud of witnesses in which he will appear. You are that great cloud. That's in the spiritual aspect of it. You are that great cloud of witnesses. He'll appear in these clouds up here in the natural. He'll appear in these clouds, which is the spiritual. He'll appear among the Jews over there, which is the physical clouds in which he shall adorn himself. He is appearing in the spiritual. That's what we're concerned about. God is a spirit. God is a spirit. And we are born of spirit, our spirit. He's appearing in these clouds of glory. And in that day, the glory of God shall become a crown to us, as Brother Frank said the other night. And shall be a royal diadem unto us. Because we're a royal priesthood and a chosen generation. We're the sons of God, and that sign is appearing. It's appearing in heaven. It's appearing in our midst. The stars are falling. The heavens are being shaken. Many of you are going to fall out of your orbit. Many of you are going to be lost. Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. We are the body of Christ. We're going to behold you fall from these spiritual realms. We're going to see you in that hour. There'll be a great falling away. We're going to behold you as you fall. As he stood down on the cross and he beheld there, the book of Revelation, when that sixth seal was opened, said the stars of heaven fell, which was the wandering stars, satanic forces fell. Those spiritual angelic beings, stars represent angels, and those spiritual angelic beings fell. Jesus saw the fall of them through his victory at the cross. And we are going to see those physical stars fall out. And we're going to see those spiritual stars fall out. Because we are being taken to the cross, and this is our hour of victory. If we can endure temptation, if we can endure the cross, this is where the outer man dies. This is where the others cannot go. They cannot go. I'm going to say this and try to close. They came from Egypt. They were on their way to the promised land or the Canaan land. But when they got into the wilderness, Pharaoh could not follow them there. The Egyptians could not follow them there because the cross was between Egypt and the Canaan land. Friend, you come all the way with us when it comes to natural book learning, didn't you? When it comes to the natural word, you come all the way with us. When it comes to the shouting, you come with us. When it comes to all those things, you come with us. But now, going into the spiritual revelation, going into this wilderness where the spiritual revelation of the law of Moses is given from the Mount of God, going, passing through these regions of the down, these dry places, on our way to the Canaan land of God, which is the mind of Christ. Coming out of that man's mind, going yonder into God's mind, coming out of the world of sight, going to the world of faith, passing across the wilderness of intellect. Out here in this realm, you can't follow us because you get confused. You get fearful. You get afraid. You can't go through this wilderness because you don't have the Holy Spirit to guide you. But we can go right on through it. The serpents will bite, but we can go right on through it. We've got something that's lifted up as an ensign, the brazen serpent of Jesus Christ, lifted up there as an ensign that if we get bit, that if the evil spirits attacked us, we just look on him and it's all washed away. Because we're going to make it. We're going to make it. We're in the shaking hour and the powers of heaven are being shaken. That's why people are wandering to and fro like they are from church to church. Falling out of their orbits after they've been in church for many years. They're falling out now. Falling out. Talk to some of them. They've been in churches all their life and they're still falling out of them. All of a sudden they don't like the church anymore. Wandering stars of whom the mist of darkness is reserved. Satan curling himself around the stars, Revelation said. Curling his tail around it, casting them down. Oh, I wish we could go on and show you how that great stream of communism, it's called the Red Dragon, sweeping through the earth. How that's among the Chinese people which are known to worship dragons. How that red stream of communism that represents the bloodline in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation. That stream of corruption that causes corruption to the body. How that stream of communism is moving through the earth like a serpent, catching, ever weaving itself around and catching those that are not in the plan of Jesus Christ. Bless everybody, stand together. Come back to the piano and let's stand together if you will. This is the hour when the Bible calls it the hour of temptation. Never before has there ever been such an hour as this. I want to sing another verse of that. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Praise the Lord. Time is filled with transition. Let's sing it together. Not of earth down here. can stand, but set your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Let's sing it together. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Set your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Let's sing another verse of that. We'll walk in the light, the beautiful light. It'll walk where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Let's sing it again, will you? We'll walk in the light, the beautiful light. It'll walk where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Why are you singing that? I want you to close your eyes and I want you to lift your hands up to the Lord. And I want us to do just like we did in the morning service this morning when the Spirit of God was so rich and so sweet. It was so mellow this morning. I want you to get real serious with the Lord. Examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith of Jesus Christ. And while we're doing it, I want you to let your hearts melt. Let your spirits melt and go out to God. Lift your faith up to the Lord. This is the shaking time. Be grounded in the rock and upon the rock and in the word of Jesus. Let's sing it together again, will you? We'll walk in the light, the beautiful light. We'll walk where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Sing it with me. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Praise the Lord. Fathers, we come to the close of another service tonight. We're so grateful for your presence. Father, we're so thankful that we can be here. And we know that we are in the end of this world. And Lord, all things are coming to a close now. And Father, the powers of heaven, they are being shaken. And the sign of the Son of Man is appearing within the heavens. Oh God, we pray that in this hour that you'll not let us be lost. Grant it, Jesus, in your wonderful name tonight. Grant it for your glory in Jesus' name tonight, Father. There shall be light about the evening time. The path to glory we shall surely find. It is the waterway. It is a better way. There shall be light about the evening time. The path to glory we shall surely find. There shall be light, light. Jesus, the light of the world. Praise the Lord. This is the evening time of life. And Jesus, the light of the world, is shining. The Word is here. Let's love Him. If you made a mistake, if you've done wrong, let me say this in closing. The Bible said His mercies are new every day. Forgetting those things that are behind, think about His mercy. It's higher than the heavens is above the earth, the Bible says. We can't fathom His depths of mercy. You say, how can I obtain that mercy, Brother Pye? By getting away from the old you. By getting away from spiritual rebellion. Leaving that behind and going on from here. But if you take that spirit on, you will never have His mercy. But let's lift our hearts and hands and minds to God. And say, Lord, Your mercy is new every day. And I accept Your mercy. Help me to be perfect, even as my Father in heaven is perfect. And I promise you that He'll bless you and He'll save your soul. May the Lord bless you. Shake hands. Come back.